Today on Tim and Sid, McDavid and Draisaitl can do nothing wrong at home versus the Avs.
Everything goes wrong in the Thursday nighter.
And the Leafs are home to Boston. What could go wrong?
I mean, Boston could score more goals. Have better goaltending, better special teams. Set some panic off in Leaf Nation. Aside from that, nothing really.
Panic is what's wrong. Right, okay, I got it.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid Show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment. Yeah. It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have some urgent and late breaking news. It's Friday.
Hey!
Thank the heavens. I'm Sid Sixero. He is exhausted. This is Tim and Sid.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
For the record, I'm right where he is.
Everybody needs to do something.
That's more than I knew of the second line.
Don't remember the lyrics, but I'm going there.
Never did in my heart, can I remix this? Let's go. That's all I
just
know.
Got paid Friday night, pain
on the floor,
feeling right.
This has been the longest week
Look
of my life.
Lookout weekend, here I come.
Next week.
Because weekends.
We need a mix.
Made for fun.
Guys, I'm serious. I want a mix of every track McAuliffe just threw. He's doing the robot right now. We don't need that. Every other song McAuliffe put out there, next Friday, and from this point on, until we get canceled from both radio and TV, we play it to start the show. Made me feel good.
That won't be long.
So for the next month, we'll have that mix until the first radio book comes out. Can't talk about it. We're live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet 590, the Fan in Southern Ontario. Get a hold of us on Twitter anytime at Tim and Sid. Our Instagram and Facebook accounts are also operational.
Plus, streaming is a thing. You can do it with Sportsnet now. Download the Sportsnet app for more details. It's how you do sports in 2019. Coming up over the next 2 hours of what we hope is edutainment. An hour and a half of it on television, all two on radio. We will discuss the Leafs.
More injuries.
Connor McDavid.
More points.
Canada soccer.
One more opportunity.
Canada basketball.
Opportunity in Victoria.
In the country, the lead.
Kind of obvious today.
Is it kind of obvious today, Sid Sixero?
Listen, it was obvious to me last night while Connor McDavid's getting like 6 points in two periods, right? I'm saying to myself, you and I are going to come in here today on the Fan 590 and on Sportsnet, and it's obvious, McDavid v. MacKinnon. Was he trying to send MacKinnon a message? Did you think he was going to get 10 points? Blah, 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 blah.
Daryl
Sittler.
Right.
1976, 10 points in a game. Was he going to match that regular? Then the end of the Steelers-Browns game happened. We don't often do the lead this early in the show, at least in the new format, but because we felt the lead was a little obvious, we thought we'd get the vote out of the way and get down to business early.
I was still arguing about what I thought they would vote on.
True. I could be wrong on all of this. We'll find out right now. Lead a megaphone.
Let's do it.
Brought to you by Rogers Ignite TV. Now you're in command. 65%.
People like
we're 66%. My eyes are going on me now.
People like to talk about suspension, Sixero.
People love some flailing
McDavid
of the helmet.
Puts up six. It gets 28%. Like, listen, I admitted to you before we came on that I thought Myles Garrett would win the vote. I didn't think it would win by that much.
That is a shocking number.
It is shocking.
Connor McDavid just looking like the best hockey player in the world because he is. No, we will. Yeah, Tim's right. In the next block, definitely we'll get to it.
We're going to do it either way. This is usually called the warm-up, and we just said we'll do the lead here, and whatever doesn't win, we'll do in the second segment. So that's what we're going to do.
Let's do it.
All right.
Last night's Browns victory over the Steelers, overshadowed by the incident everyone is talking about today. Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph. Today, the NFL announced Garrett will be suspended indefinitely for hitting the Steelers QB in the head with his own helmet in a piece of video that, quite frankly, shocked North America. The suspension will last at least the final six games of the Browns season, pending a meeting with Commissioner Roger Goodell. Meanwhile, Marquise Pouncey, center of the Steelers, received a 3-game suspension, and Larry Ogunjobi will miss one game for their roles in the altercation.
Very good Ogunjobi, by the way.
Thank you. I practiced all night. Good. Did the NFL, we're talking suspensions specifically here, but obviously branched wherever you want, did they get the suspensions right, do you think?
I think they handled this properly, and I think what the indefinitely is we'll figure out what we want to do with this, and we're going to set a precedent early by saying indefinitely so no one flips out while we figure out what it's going to be. Because you don't – listen, I've seen the helmet come off before. I have seen the helmet swung before. I don't know if I've ever seen the helmet swung and land as hard as it did on the head of Mason Rudolph. The one thing in all of this that I actually liked was that Myles Garrett just said, I'm embarrassed. It's on me. And there was even more accountability today when it was announced that he was suspended indefinitely. He realizes he bleeped up, and I think that will come into account when the NFL actually hands down a suspension. But let me just say, the 3-game suspension for Marquise Pouncey is the biggest ripoff of any suspension. Like, if you're going to get suspended 3 games for what Marquise Pouncey did, which was throw a couple punches and kind of sort of miss a guy who's already got a helmet on and then throw the worst kick that I have ever seen to a helmeted individual, then I think Marcus Pouncey should have done something else to get his 3 games worth.
But, Tim, I want to land on this for a moment here, because I think the Marquise Pouncey is just as interesting to me. And you make the point, and you make a valid one. The NFL today looked at all the film, and they're sitting there, probably 7 guys, and they're looking at Marquise Pouncey. And if you guys on the TV side want to roll that one more time, please feel free. They look at what 53 in white does. Punch, 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 kick to the head, follow through punch, and everyone basically in the room goes, not the worst thing we saw last night. That's basically the type of incident we are talking about, where Marquise Pouncey loses it unlike any NFLer I've seen in a very long time. And it's kind of slap on the wrist territory.
Well, he was also protecting the guy who got hit in the head with the helmet, right?
Let me ask you something.
You know that,
no,
right?
No, I know.
Okay.
If Tim McAuliffe is wearing 53 and you are in the vicinity and you see Myles Garrett fling a helmet at your helmetless quarterback,
do you know
are you peacemaker or do you react the way Marquise Pouncey reacts?
I've been on a football field where fights have broken out before, especially when Myles Garrett's wearing a visor. The throwing of punches is one of the stupidest things that you could possibly do.
Could have put yourself out for the year.
The best way to do it, I'll tell you, Sixero, and why people grab face masks is you're supposed to grab the face mask, you pull up the face mask, and then you throw the punch, usually an uppercut underneath. Now, I'm not trying to teach you, but you lift up, and then bam!
Yeah,
up, bam!
Yeah, but it's not like Glass Joe and Mike Tyson's punch out where it's like on easy.
God.
Tim's jacket. Yeah,
people are moving.
McAuliffe was so forceful, for those listening on radio, in the punch, his jacket got caught in the microphone.
Okay, so that's, if you're going to do it, what he did was useless, admittedly.
But it was the thought that counted.
Yeah, that's why he got suspended 3 games.
Isn't it the thought? No, but it was dangerous as hell. Like Marquise Pouncey's one of the centers in the league.
It's not dangerous. I mean, it's a Pouncey, so it's dangerous.
Because the Pouncey's come in hot.
They don't mess around.
They don't mess around, Marquise Pouncey.
No, they do not mess around. I'm not even going to joke about that. They do not mess around.
Like, we should stop talking about it.
Correct. But I thought it was useless. I thought it was, like, you're not landing anything. I don't even know why he got suspended three games.
But to go with you, well, he did try and kick a human being.
Yeah, no, I know.
But
we've seen Ndamukong Suh stomp people where you could actually do damage, and he gets 1 game.
Correct.
Right?
There was also four other punches thrown in there with the kick.
Yeah, you see punches at the bottom of piles that don't even get suspended.
True.
It's just they don't want this vision out there, and I understand why the NFL would not want a vision like what happened at the end of the game. The game was no longer in question, right?
It's a 2-touchdown lead with 10 seconds to go.
Right, and it was a meaningless pass at the end, which is why the Steelers were so pissed off. For me, what pisses me off more, maybe you want to walk down this indefinite suspension a little bit more. What pisses me off more is I knew when we left the air yesterday and I was telling you about what this meant to the Cleveland Browns, right?
Correct.
It was basically their season's on the line against a hated rival at home on national TV. Why did it take 9 games in these circumstances for the Cleveland Browns to take bleep seriously? Like, they played with some passion. They right. played with some emotion. It boiled over. Some of it was ridiculous. The yawning thing to Mike Tomlin when you guys are 3-6 to me is kind of sort of ridiculous. Like, to me, where the bleep was all of this for the first 9 games of the season?
I have no idea, but the feeling lasted all of 0 seconds once the game was over. Like, this was their moment of the year. It wasn't the Buffalo game. It was a division game that mattered. And you pulled within 1 win of the final wild card team in the AFC.
And then you just took a kick in the teeth, literally, figuratively, with Myles Garrett being gone.
Gone. Everyone feels like you lost the game after. No one feels good about this. No one feels right about this. You've lost him for the year. God hates the Cleveland Browns. I've never seen anything like it. This organization could bleep up a grilled cheese sandwich. That was the best moment they have had in a long time. And in a nothing moment, Myles Garrett doesn't give a damn about the coach, his teammates, his GM, the owner cutting the check, any fan in the stadium, any Cleveland fan across North America who suffered through this garbage that the organization is. Myles Garrett wanted to get into it. Well, with Mason Rudolph.
Buddy, I'm more pissed off with Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. Myles Garrett just lost his mind.
That's worse than losing your mind, though. We've seen losing your mind. The stomp from Ndamukong Suh is kind of like losing your mind. But that is not giving a damn about anyone around you.
I don't think any of that goes through his head in that moment.
There was nothing going through his head at that moment.
No, you just lost his mind.
Yeah.
That's literally the definition of losing your mind.
But with 10 seconds to go in a nothing game, you're going to lose your mind?
Thank you, please. I understand what you're saying, but it's so hard to pull yourself back in that moment, and at least after there was accountability, which I haven't seen from the entire Cleveland Browns team. What are Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry doing getting into it with Mike Tomlin at 3-6? Why are they doing the yawn thing?
Yeah. Listen.
Like, that to me is more ridiculous than anything else. You're doing it for the cameras because you know you're on national TV, and now you're pissed off, and now you're going to show everybody what you're worth? Where was it the first 9 games of the season? Myles Garrett, I will have 10 times on my team before guys like that who show up when they're on national TV only. Myles Garrett lost his mind. I don't know if you know this, but when you get wrapped up in a game as physical as football, bleep like that happens. We've seen it a million times in a million different sports when it's physical. Guys do things that they don't want to do and that they feel stupid about after. And Myles Garrett took all that accountability. I haven't seen that.
What are you talking? Myles Garrett didn't even apologize after the game. He did not say, "I apologize to anybody."
He called it embarrassing.
And?
He said he lost his mind.
Yeah, thanks for the update there,
Botch.
And it's on me. He didn't apologize once after that game, takes the helmet off of a quarterback, waited another 5 seconds to think about it.
Right.
Don't give me this. He had a moment. He had a 7-second moment where he thought about it.
You think he thought about it.
And then went whack-a-mole on the guy from Oklahoma State.
When's the last time you got into a fight?
It's been a long time, Tim.
And you were thinking about it the entire time.
Listen to me.
There's no thinking going on here.
If I left this desk with 2 segments to go in the show, people would be upset with me. Why? Because I have a job to do. I have responsibility to you and the people back there and people at home and people listening. Myles Garrett has a responsibility to not be an asshat in a nothing moment where it's the best time of your year.
He
made it about him.
Nobody's taking him off the hook. I'm not taking him off the hook.
He didn't apologize after the game.
Here's what he said after the game. You can listen to him. This is the accountability that I'm talking about. And by the way, in no way am I taking him off the hook. He did something wrong. He knows he did something wrong.
He's losing a lot of game checks.
Here's the proof of him doing something wrong and knowing it.
That is a bad thing. Now, what I did was foolish, and I shouldn't allow myself to slip like that. That's out of character, but situation like that where, it's an emotional game, like Larry said, and allow myself to fall into those emotions, with that the last play and what happened. hurting my whole team with what I did.
He knows.
For the record, the out-of-character moment from the young man is coming from a guy who's thrown hands numerous times this season. That's not the first time he's thrown a punch during an NFL game this season. He's talented. He's a former first overall pick. He's a fantastic football player. He played pretty well last night.
How about Nate Burleson, who played with Ndamukong Suh? We can talk to him about it later.
Yeah, that must have been an experience playing with Ndamukong Suh.
Well, Ndamukong Suh was of... Because everyone who talked about Ndamukong Suh after the fact would always say, like, this is a guy we love.
Right.
And then he couldn't keep himself out of trouble.
Yep.
Just, it's so easy to stand on the outside for me and say what you would do in that spot until you're in that spot wound up in a game where, as a defensive player like Myles Garrett, you're paid to hurt people.
Listen, all I'm saying is there was the moment with Garrett. He had his helmet in his hand. He walked away from the moment. Then there was another moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the one moment, right? Like, it was noisy. It got quiet. Then it got noisy again.
I don't know.
I think some people are letting him off the hook saying, well, he had a bad moment. No, he had a bad moment.
No, he's going to pay for it.
We all know he's going to pay for it. That's a fact, because he's not going to see another game check for the rest of the year.
With money and with a suspension.
I'm just saying there were several moments there, not just one. Let's remember.
Apparently,
that.
He won't be charged. Cleveland police say no police report was filed by Mason Rudolph after his hit. No charges have been filed. That could change if, in fact, Rudolph files the report.
One last really obvious statement that I know we all know, but I think it's worth repeating. Myles Garrett is very lucky Mason Rudolph was walking off that field.
Yeah, correct.
Because then the story you just read might be a little different.
Which is usually what happens, right?
Yeah.
And we've seen it in other sports.
We've had that discussion a million times.
A bunch of different things going on in the world of football. CFL playoffs, Eskimos at Tiger Cats, Bombers at Rough Riders, and, of course, the national semifinals in U Sports happening this weekend. Mitchell Bowl, McMaster at Calgary, UTEC Bowl, Montreal at Acadia, wondering if this is the year the AUS busts through. Any one of those four games I place in front of you at this juncture in time. Maybe we can get a few more in after Nate Burleson. But your most pressing issue is crossing over Eskimos, the idea that Zach Collaros will face the Rough Riders with the chance to face the Ticats, who almost ended his season in week one, drive one. Where is the most intriguing part
of this? I'm wondering, in terms of U Sports, how strong Atlantic Canada is this year. With that Montreal crossover, beating Laval last week. I said to you Monday, I came in Monday. I go, Tim, how often is it Western and Laval lose on the same weekend in U Sports football where you don't get to the Final Four? And it doesn't happen a lot. So I'm just curious how good. And I keep hearing Atlantic Canada is a little better than people think. Montreal might be surprised this weekend. I'm kind of curious about that.
Katie is ranked higher than Montreal.
They are. And Dane Evans and the Tiger Cats are going to the Grey Cup.
Wow.
I'm on this Ticats bandwagon. I'm not leaving alone.
We'll have that discussion.
Shout out Stephen Brunt.
We'll also have the discussion. Was what Draisaitl and McDavid did last night Gretzky Curry-esque?
Oh, no. McAuliffe, what are you doing?
The numbers they're putting up.
What are you doing?
Are Gretzky Curry-esque?
No.
Next on Tim and Sid.
You're messing with my childhood, man. Don't do it.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
We're talking about family fights. Like they're Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph during the commercial break, as if there's something. Keegan wrote in and said, as a Cleveland Browns fan watching that game, I was honestly embarrassed.
Get in line. I mean, I don't have any skin in the game when it comes to Cleveland. I enjoy laughing at their failure because that's what they're about. But there was a moment last night where I'm like, this fan base, I genuinely feel sorry for, because even in victory, life does not allow them to celebrate.
Even in victory
it doesn't happen.
Where you have Miami, Pittsburgh, and Cincy on the slate to get to 7-6. And they still do.
By the way, Steelers-Cleveland, meet again in 2 weeks.
Right.
Circle that. Meet again in 2 weeks.
By the way, congratulations, 6-3 Bills, 5-4 Raiders, 5-4 Colts, 5-5 Titans, all teams that benefit from guys getting suspended from those two teams.
Congratulations.
Time now for the lineup brought to you by Swish LA. Taste it once, love it forever. Last night in Edmonton, Oilers offense turned it back, kids. 6-2 win over the Avs. The night belonged to Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, for that matter. But McDavid, a career high, 6 points, including his second hat trick in his last three games. Now, Sid, I have worked with you for a very long time. Before we went to break, I said Gretzky, Curry. Sometimes you like to live on the negative side of things. So I'm going to remove Gretzky, Curry from the equation for now. Last night's performance, McDavid, hat trick, 6 points. Draisaitl, 5 points. There's nothing bad to say about this performance from the Edmonton Oilers, right?
Two things. One, do not compare what we're seeing here to Gretzky and Curry.
Why not?
How dare you? How dare you get on a microphone that works and express to Canada and Southern Ontario and anywhere in the world that takes our podcast?
Mm-hmm.
How dare you compare Draisaitl and McDavid to hockey royalty that existed during our youth between Gretzky and Curry, or Curry to Gretzky, whichever way the goal went?
Mm-hmm.
Ruled Earth.
Usually
post Islanders run.
Usually Gretzky to Curry.
Usually Gretzky to Curry. Sometimes the other way around.
Okay.
It's an insult. Okay. And I'm not even kidding when I say this. I know it sounds like I'm kind of kidding. I'm not. Vinny, I'm not. Get the smirk off your face. It's an insult. Stanley Cups were won. Blood was shed. Boys were on the bus.
Boys were on
this
the bus.
This is not Gretzky, Curry, Messier, the whole crew. Coffee, you name it. Grant Fuhr, never let in the sixth goal. Let in five.
No, I know.
Never let in the sixth goal.
I get that reference. I'm good with that.
But if you do it statistically going forward because it matches, I understand, because that's fact. But in your heart and my heart, we both know this is not Gretzky and Curry that we're watching. Not yet. Maybe one day, but not yet.
Why you got to hate?
I'm not hating.
You are hating.
I'm not hating.
Why are you hating?
No, I'm not. It's not. It's like comparing Mason Rudolph with Terry Bradshaw. Say you're not doing it. You can't do it. Here's the other thing that pissed me off last night.
No, wait. Before you go there.
I really want to talk about the other thing that pissed me off last night.
Fine, I'll wait again. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm kidding. Listen, you know what? It's the end of the week.
No.
It's the end of the week. It's been an eventful week.
How dare we compare anything Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid do on the ice to the days of Paul Coffey, Wayne Gretzky, Jari Kurri, and the great Edmonton Oilers of the past. Leon Draisaitl, Sportsnet stats, 41 points through 21 games, the most points through 21 games of any season since Mario Lemieux in 2002-2003. Sportsnet stats, by the way, on Twitter, at SN Stats, 6 points through two periods, Oilers history. Connor McDavid, Paul Coffey, Wayne Gretzky, that's it.
Well, that's pretty impressive. As I said, I'm not going to let facts get in the way of my grumpiness. And I'm already getting some okay boomers on social media. I'm not an okay boomer.
That's the definition.
I'm 40 years old.
All right. Okay, Gen Xer.
And I remember the greatest team I've ever seen in my life, the 1987 Edmonton Oilers.
But nobody's saying this team.
Yes.
Yes,
that's what we're saying.
Quantify. No.
Sportsnet stats and Fallon and those guys upstairs who I love just throwing around comparisons to the 80s Oilers willy-nilly.
They're comparing McDavid and Draisaitl and the numbers they're putting up to players on those teams.
I think it's
understand
uncool.
The team that didn't make the playoffs last year is not being compared to one of the greatest teams that we have ever seen in our lives. You need to separate the two, understand, and accept that what McDavid and Draisaitl are doing right now is redonkulous.
Morgan at Tim and Sid. Why is Sid living in the past? McDavid, Draisaitl, awesome. I never saw Gretzky play. Morgan, let me tell you something.
Oh, my gosh. No,
he was unbelievable.
Listen, I'm stepping away.
He's better than all of these guys. He is better. Do you have to step away?
Yeah, no, I don't want to be
What are you scared of with the comment?
I don't want to be a part of what Morgan said. No, not me.
A lot of kids didn't watch Gretzky play. It's nothing wrong with that. It's a fact.
But Wikipedia, son.
Or YouTube.
Or YouTube, son.
We should start a show on Sportsnet called Old Oilers in 30.
I'm with you.
Honestly.
Yeah, watch
everything
them
else
do
in
this.
30. Old Oiler games in 30. I'd watch that.
Never mind that the goalies can't move their legs because they're wearing 15 pounds on each one.
And who knows what substance everyone's on.
Well, we do know it's
well, substance. We do now, yeah. I think. Anyway, Gretzky was really good. He has more points than anyone else in NHL history.
Yeah.
More goals than anyone else in NHL history. He's Wayne Gretzky and we're not.
Right.
Look it up. Here's my sorry. Anything else about the stat comparisons before I go on to the other thing I didn't like?
No,
last night?
That's fine. I needed to put it in perspective. Okay,
but
that's
Sportsnet what I'm here stats for. Needs to have a meeting on this because the Oilers haven't made the playoffs in 12 of the last 13 years. I don't want to hear Gretzky and Curry comparisons. It's a bunch of malarkey.
No, it's the individual players. Stop. And by the way, Nuge had two more goals. He's now got six points in his last
that's
four
important.
Games.
That's
trying
important.
To forget San Jose, but whatever.
That's, no, well, they all count.
Okay, what's the other thing that pissed you off besides right. Adam Werner?
Here's what, but. Okay, no, but it leads into this.
Okay.
So Colorado's down to their fourth stringer by the end of that hockey game in net.
Yep.
Antoine Bibeau. Your boy.
Mm-hmm.
Former Leaf, right, Antoine Bibeau, right?
That is way, well, Marley.
For Marley,
I think
yeah.
he played maybe one
so
or two
So he was a fake
Leaf,
yeah. is what you're saying.
No, I think he got a couple with the Leafs.
Oh, all right. Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah.
The Phil Kessel years, I guess. So Antoine Bibeau is mm-hmm. in net by the end of that hockey game for the Colorado Avalanche.
Yep.
Connor McDavid has 6 points by the second intermission,
mm-hmm.
okay? 6 points!
Correct.
He played 7 minutes in the first period. Dave Tippett played him 6 minutes in the second period. So here we go. He has 6 points. Daryl Sittler's single game record, 10.
Mm-hmm.
10 points.
Right.
Antoine Bibeau, a.k.a. me, is a net. At the other end.
It is.
They have a fourth fact. Fourth stringer. And that ain't Jordan Binnington.
It's not you.
Okay? Fourth stringer in net for Colorado.
He made the NHL.
6 points for Connor McDavid.
Okay, go ahead.
You have a chance to not only tie Daryl Sittler's record, you can go and set a new mark. If I'm Dave Tippett, let the horses run out of the barn here.
Oh, here we go.
How many minutes do you think Connor McDavid played in the third period last night?
Here we go. By the way,
how many minutes?
Daryl Sittler, I believe, natural hat trick in the third period got him 7, 8, and 9.
Correct.
So I'm putting context to Sid's argument because I don't believe in it, but I'm going to help him anyway.
Appreciate it, Tim. And I think you're wrong. So thank you.
I played.
How many minutes do you think Connor McDavid played?
21, seven minutes.
He played 4 minutes in the third period last night. Connor McDavid sitting on 6 points.
He's upset
he can break the record.
They're winning games.
Dave Tippett looks at this situation. This will be the best thing to happen to the Oilers in 13 years. That includes playoff victories a couple years ago.
This is your worst take ever.
Dave Tippett nails him to the bench, and he could have went out there and cleared. He could have cleared 10 points by 3 points last
okay.
night.
I need to stop.
Antoine Bibeau, no, who I'm not sure is even a real goalie, is a net.
Oh, my God. Stop,
and Connor
please.
McDavid only plays 4 minutes in the third. Who's coaching the team? Babcock? Connor McDavid's only playing 4 minutes in the third period.
This is the reason why they're winning games.
Why does hockey hate me? I want to see a record broken last night in Edmonton.
That is, you're so selfish.
So Dave Tippett. You done messed up. This is completely on you.
Protect his team in a
Connor McDavid can't
the
say
reason
this.
Reason why they're winning games.
I'm going to say this for Connor. I'm saying this for Connor. He could have played 10 minutes in that period and finished with 15 points, and we could have been witness to one of the greatest moments in the history of the National Hockey League. But that's okay. Neutral zone trap Colorado, who's missing two-thirds of their top line and has something called an Antoine Bibeau in net.
All right.
That's fine. No, that's fine. Great time in Edmonton last night. Great time.
This from the hockey mind of Sid Sixero. Not Tim McAuliffe. Sid Sixero. Antoine Bibeau, career stats, 3 games, 197 goals against average, and a .923 save percentage. You could not do that in the NHL.
Give me a week to work out. Give me 1 week to work out.
You spoke. My turn to speak.
Go ahead.
Embrace the silence because you're about to get smashed. This
That's not a real saying.
Is you yesterday on Adam Werner after a 40-save
performance. Who's Adam Warner again?
He's the guy who started in net.
Oh, last night.
Who
yeah.
was chased
I never
after
liked
two periods
I
of
never
play.
Liked Adam Warner.
This was you after he blanked the Winnipeg Jets on Wednesday. I'm correcting myself, so no one else tell me that it was on Wednesday and not yesterday. Here's Adam Warner, Sid Sixero, weighing in on what everyone should do with the Avs goaltender who started last night, who you're saying was a part of this McMagic.
Werner, the goalie who did not get the shutout last night for Colorado, yeah. is still only owned in 5% of Yahoo Fantasy Hockey Leagues right now. You got two guys who were hurt. You might as well, hey, here's your fantasy hockey tip of the day. Get him.
Go get him.
Good thing Andy McNamara is a sportsman. I don't know what I'm talking about. Go to Andy for your fantasy advice. By the way, and I think it might now be available in only in every league except for 3% of leagues. I think it's gone down. Look, I'm gonna tell you what Connor McDavid won't. 4 minutes in the third period, could have broken Sittler's record last night. That's a joke. That's a joke. He could have broken Sittler's record last night. He played 17 minutes last night.
You're not being serious.
Could have broken it with ease. And you and I are here talking about what a moment. What a moment. Daryl, one of the great records in Canadian sports history, Daryl Sittler's 10-point night would get broke.
Like you have a shovel.
Unbelievable.
And you're just digging this hole deeper and deeper and deeper with more passion. And more, you're like tag team back again.
I just did the math.
Check it.
I just did the math.
Here's
the
shovel.
Connor McDavid. No
Can
one told me this.
Can you dig it, fool? Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can y'all dig it?
Can you play him in the third period? The answer is no. In the first 13 minutes, 41 seconds of Connor McDavid's night last night, he had 6 points.
Okay, but you do...
He had 6 points.
You do realize that this is why...
five to it.
But you do realize this is why the Oilers are different this year than every other year, because they don't have to worry about that bleep because they're winning these things called hockey games.
Listen, we all
you understand that, right?
We're all different. We're different.
And Ken Holland came into this franchise, wanted stability, and they wanted to make sure that this stuff never happened.
Yes, never have a record
broken. Because we've seen guys before put up numbers, in fact, get paid for putting up those numbers, but it never amounted to winning hockey games.
Really?
Which I don't know if you know this, but that's the most important point of the game.
We're winning hockey
is
games.
You play. Yeah. To win the game. I don't know if you've heard this before.
No, just keep talking while you're doing great.
But you play to win
the game.
The game.
Do you know the old
and
saying?
Do you know where Connor McDavid's minutes rank among forwards in the NHL so far this season? He and or Leon Draisaitl, who had 5 points, and you haven't brought up in this little conversation
well,
that you're
I,
having
I did
right
because
now.
He's apparently Yari Curry. Apparently Leon Draisaitl's Yari Curry in this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Remember the old saying at North Carolina that the only guy that could stop Michael Jordan was Dean Smith?
Yeah.
The only guy in the league that can stop Connor McDavid is Dave Tippett.
Right.
Okay? And I'm disappointed.
You do realize where Michael Jordan ended up at the end of his career.
No, I'm pretty sure that ruined Michael Jordan's career.
As the greatest player of all time.
That ruined Michael Jordan's
career.
It's
a wonderful point that you're making. Go ahead. Sorry, I got to get out of the way.
By the way, do you remember when for exactly a calendar year he played baseball and came back exactly a year later on his own volition? That was cute. So, Connor McDavid, I feel sorry for him.
You want to have this? It's a Friday. We can have that conversation.
That Michael Jordan was actually suspended a year for gambling and no one wants to talk about it? Exactly a year. Do the math. Exactly 1 year.
This is just a. This
Do
is,
the math.
It's
1 year. One year.
This is speculation out there on the dark web that Sid
for
is referring
to. For 20 years, that speculation.
That is referring to.
For 20 years.
And you know what? He was sick late against the Utah Jazz. He had the flu.
The Jägermeister flu. That's what he had.
All right. Let's update. Let's pivot.
That took a while. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Can we? Because there was.
I want some good. Give me some good news. I want some good Alberta news.
I will go south from Edmonton.
Let's
stay away from something that is obviously something sensitive to you, and move to the good news after what we were scared with yesterday.
Yeah.
We told you about a scary incident that took place in Calgary when Flames defenseman TJ Brody collapsed on the ice during practice. He was sent to hospital after for further testing. Before being released. Now, the good news is he spent the night at home resting with his family, and I think we got a little bit more good news today when Flames GM Brad Treliving and the team's head physician Ian Auld spoke to the media to update the situation.
All of the tests that have been done to date have come back negative. You know, he's doing well. This is going to be, we're not going to leave any stone unturned in terms of the tests that we go through. And no set timetable for TJ's return.
You know, an event like this can be caused by something inside the brain, something scary, and it can also be caused by what we call syncopal or fainting episodes. And the reasons for why people faint are many, and dehydration certainly could be one of them. I don't think we have all the answers yet. We do have a few more tests to go, but all the early indications are that it's very likely more related to a fainting episode than it is to something significant and inside the brain.
So that's good news.
Yeah, just, I mean, the fact that he's home.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone is obviously a huge sign. And like we said numerous times yesterday, and with Brian Burke here as well, to TJ and the family, get well soon. He's obviously not making the trip to Glendale tomorrow, but we hope to see him back soon. Definitely.
I don't know if you know this, but there's a little bit of history between the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. Just, they are playing tonight in the Hall of Fame game down at the Scotiabank Arena. Joe Bowen will join us in our radio only half hour at the end of the show. You can head to the internet to listen to that, sportsnet.ca/590. And I found the one person that agrees with you, Chuck. Agree with Sid. It's the equivalent of pulling your ace when he is pitching a perfect game in the ninth. Hashtag McDavid, hashtag McMagic. There is one person that agrees with you, and I hope that doesn't embolden you to speak further on this.
Tim, point. Here's what I've learned over the last 4 months on Twitter. That's all I need, baby.
That's true.
That's all I need, baby. True.
Best of the week up next as we rifle through our Friday and take you into the weekend, because I don't know if you've heard this before. Everybody's working for the weekend.
Adam Werner of the Avalanche is now owned in 8% of Yahoo Fantasy Leagues.
You did that.
Up from 5%.
You did that.
Fantasy hockey, let's go.
He's going to start a bunch of games here.
I think he will, yeah. Bebo's not good.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
I may have found where you're right, Sixero. Bumblebee wrote in and said, two more goals, save on foods, gives away a million. Bleep and tip it.
It's like when the Score Television Network had to give away three cars.
Three cars.
Hit for a cycle on a Sunday night. Remember that?
Mm-hmm, I remember it.
Jeff Bagwell. Yes, Jay Sands, producer of the show. Thank you very much for that.
So maybe they were looking
some
for that.
Serious shenanigans. I blame Principe.
Who cares? Who cares about winning hockey games? Save on foods, giving away money. Time now for the best of the week, brought to you by the Kraken Black Spice Rum. An epic tale awaits. Here's what we do. We gather up what we think are the best clips of the week. We present them to you. You vote on them, and we give you the best of the week at the end of the show.
Nominee number one here, it's a little different. It's just a tweet. Before you show it, guys, let me just explain. Zlatan Ibrahimovic has left the LA Galaxy of MLS. Mm-hmm. Zlatan was one of the best quotes in North American sports I have seen in years.
Maybe the best quote in sports, period.
Potentially. I don't know where he's going, but he did say goodbye to the LA Galaxy and to North America with a single tweet. It's a picture of him overlooking LA as if he is some godlike figure. And the tweet reads as such, and I'll do it in Zlatan's voice, if I may, Tim.
Oh, nice.
I came, I saw, I conquered. Thank you, Galaxy, for making me feel alive again. To the Galaxy fans, you wanted Zlatan, I gave you Zlatan. You are welcome. The story continues. Now go back to watch baseball.
And literally, that's how it reads.
That's exactly what the tweet
now
was.
Now go back to watch baseball.
Go back to watch baseball. Rob Manfred was offended at the tweet. Rob Manfred.
So that is our first nominee, Zlatan being Zlatan. Every once in a while, we like to pull back the curtain on the industry where we work and try and show you guys the fun or the real or the hard or the easy side of broadcasting. This week, Jack Patterson from WRBL, News 3 in Georgia. Jack had a little bit of a trouble doing what we call in the business a stand-up, a recording at the end of a report that tells you in a synopsis what happened. Luckily for him, one of the better men in the industry, a veteran, Marty Smith, ESPN, happened to be walking by when Jack messed up. He left the camera rolling and then posted it for all to see. Here's how it sounded.
It was billed as the game of the century once again between number 2 LSU and number 3 Alabama, but it was the Tigers jumping out to a shocking 20-point first-half lead before the Tide came roaring back in the second half and setting up a shootout for the ages that culminated. Oh, dang it.
Don't let nobody tell you it ain't, man. For real. Do you want to know the hardest part? The hardest part of our job is what you're doing right now. The tape stand-up, hate them. I hate them, man. Because it ain't like, if you're live and you kind of mess up, whatever, you just keep on digging. This thing, you want to be just perfect. I can't stand them. Kill them.
You mind if I get a picture, Archie?
No.
Because I am a huge fan.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you for everything you do.
You got it, brother. Yeah. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you for the advice.
Keep plowing.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you, sir.
That's cool.
Best part of the end, he stares in the camera and says, wow.
Fantastic. Tim, my next video is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
We have an 11-year-old from Buffalo
mm-hmm.
who was standing in the cold all night so he could win Chick-fil-A for a year.
Sorry?
So, again, 11-year-old in the cold, waiting in line for a chance to win Chick-fil-A for a year. The cameras caught him and asked him what he loves so much about Chick-fil-A. This is my spirit animal. Okay.
Well, I'm here in the freezing cold getting free chicken sandwiches because the food tastes great. I mean, it's chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
It's your spirit animal. It looks like a young Sixero too.
By the way, Swiss Chalet is the bee's knees as well.
Yeah, Swiss Just Chalet.
Since we're on the topic.
I would go out in the freezing cold for free Swiss Chalet for a year.
Why does he sound like he's 62? I like chicken. They don't make him like Daryl Talley anymore.
Can we get that?
I like chicken.
Can we get him one more time?
Yeah, hit me with him.
Oh, hit me with him one more, because he does sound like he's calling into WGR.
Close your eyes and tell me this guy's not your uncle.
He's calling into WGR. They don't make him like Tasker no more.
I'm freezing cold getting free chicken sandwiches because the food tastes great. I mean, it's chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
Next caller on the line, Dave from Buffalo. What's Lindy Ruff doing with the power play? And I like fried chicken.
If you didn't know, Wednesday was World Kindness Day. And what the world needs now mm-hmm. is love, sweet love. It's not really Sid's favorite day of the year, but I tried to make it his favorite day of the year. What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Can you let her sing it? World Kindness Day. Really? Tim McAuliffe is hugging me right now. I appreciate it. But it's been a week, and I'm not feeling the kindness. Tim McAuliffe is walking around the room on this
World Kindness Day.
Kindness Day to perpetuate this myth that human beings are kind to each other. I think we all know better. Tim is now hugging the camera. He is hugging people at home, in restaurants, and in Best Buys across Canada. Freaking them out.
It's World Kindness Day.
World Kindness Day. My ass. But whatever. Let's go around hugging each other like it matters. Hello, Canada. Hello, Toronto. It's your boy, S. Doggy. Sid. It's World Kindness Day.
Don't stand that close. Oh, hey, hey, hey. No, they did. Hug.
Can't believe it.
Hug again, I'm sorry.
I'm giving everyone a hug.
Can't open
that was. Thank you. That was a disgusting visual I created. I'm sorry for that.
When you watch that back, do you think, man, I was good that day? Or are you like,
I think,
what did I just do?
You know what I think? My wife's a champ. That's what I think. That got applause, dang it. Yeah, someone's off the Christmas card list. All right, if we can get kind of serious for a moment. Who doesn't love Jeopardy in this room, man? Who doesn't love Jeopardy in Canada?
Hey, man, let's just continue with the kindness theme, Sixero.
Back in October, Alex Trebek announced he's back in chemo. Pancreatic cancer has surfaced again. He's going to try and work through it. But he made the announcement in October. The next day, they were taping some shows, and a contestant in Final Jeopardy who wasn't going to win wrote down a special... Didn't write down what he thought the question was in Final Jeopardy.
Right.
Wrote down a special
what
message
for... What is the Isle of Man?
Yeah, not what is the Isle of Man. Right. There was a message here of love for Alex Trebek. He wasn't ready for it. He got kind of choked up about it. This went viral. This was kind of cool.
Did you come up with the right one? No? What is We Love You, Alex? That's very kind. Thank you. Cost you $19.95. You're left with $5. Okay.
Kind of cool.
And if we haven't made you cry yet, we got one more that might. We mentioned that Wednesday, World Kindness Day, NHL Maple Leafs, Paul Bissonnette teaming up together to make a lifelong Leaf fan's dream come true. All right, we're going to chop some onions in here.
Oh, boy. I know that guy.
Ron, you're going to sit right here, buddy. Well, I'm Paul Bissonnette. I'm here on behalf of the NHL.
Right now, my father's full-time caregiver, so I take care of all of his basic needs. I sent a tweet not expecting anything. Never in a million years would have thought that Paul would have reached out to me.
So, if your son will do the honors...
Hey, Ron, Austin here. Heard you've been a lifelong Leafs fan, and you haven't made it down to a game in over 20 years. I think we should probably change that, don't you? Oh, yes. Can you do the honors?
So we got this little present for you. So, actually, there's actually another part to the video Austin sent.
Hey, Ron, hope you enjoy the game with your sons. Only downside is you're probably going to get stuck with the bill and this one whole game with Biz. Hopefully we can get a win for you. Looking forward to meeting you after.
Wow.
Ron.
I don't know if I can handle all this. I've waited 52 years for something like this from Toronto. This is as big as winning the Stanley Cup.
We'll tweet out the full video.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That got me. You saw me watching it.
I know. And I have no soul, and I thought that was kind of cool. Sometimes there's just no smart-ass thing to say. Sometimes it's just really cool. So that was really nice of him.
Head to sportsnet.ca/vote to vote for your favorite for the best of the week.
This is a wild field, Tim. I don't know who's going to win best of the week this week. I have no idea.
Me either. And coming up next, Nate Burleson's going to drop by to discuss what the hell happened in Cleveland last night, and maybe what will happen with Colin Kaepernick next on Tim and Sid.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid.
Oh, yeah. It's time for real sports talk with Tim McCallum and Sid Sexero.
Thank you very much, Sheepdogs. Back with you for another 30 minutes on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 360. Full hour on Sportsnet 590, The Fan in the Southern Ontario area. Hockey Central coming up at 6:30 Eastern on Sportsnet. And then the Sidney Crosby-less Penguins taking on the Devils at 7 Eastern tonight.
But we begin this hour with football. Nate Burleson will join us in just a minute. We always have fun talking to Nate Burleson. We'll discuss last night's ugly scene in Cleveland. But let's get you caught up to date first on the discipline handed down by the NFL today. Myles Garrett has been suspended for the rest of the season, including the playoffs. They're calling it indefinitely at this juncture, and will have to meet with the commissioner's office before being reinstated. Garrett ripped the helmet off of Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph and hit him with it. The league also suspended the Steelers' Marquise Pouncey for 3 games and another Cleveland player for 1 game for their roles in the brawl. Both organizations were fined $250,000. Browns coach Freddie Kitchens spoke to the media after the discipline was announced.
I spoke with Miles this morning. He understands the magnitude of what occurred last night. He's very remorseful. He's very sorry for his actions. He understands that he let himself down. He let his teammates down. He let his organization down. I don't have a response to their suspension. I mean, you put it in their hands when you do something like that.
Yeah, that's an accurate way to depict it.
Yeah, there's something else in his hands, but yeah. Whatever.
Especially when you swing whatever it is in your hands.
Yeah.
Nate Burleson of NFL Network and CBS Sports. He was on this all morning, obviously, with the Good Morning Football crew. Nate is kind enough to join us once again.
I'm going to change this segment to just real talk with Nate Burleson.
It's been a theme.
This is going to be another one.
It's been a theme. All right, Nate, last night, or whenever you saw the incident first, your initial reaction was what?
That it was inexcusable. Because the first thing that you pay attention to in a fight is the worst part of the fight. And I think we all agree the worst part of it is Myles Garrett snatching the helmet off of Mason Rudolph and then knocking him in the head with it. You can't have that in this game. I said over and over on the show that he was in the wrong. But then once you really start paying attention to it, you understand that he's not the only one that's in the wrong. There's also a Marquise Pouncey who jumped in. And of course, you know, he's protecting his quarterback. He's swinging viciously, trying to connect with Myles Garrett. He's kicking at Myles Garrett. And the reason I say he's in the wrong, not because of his actions. I understand why he did it. He's right for protecting his quarterback. He's wrong because now he throws himself in the mix and he's up for suspension. And also when you swing a closed fist at somebody's helmet, it can end bad. Like, I've seen guys get in fights at practicing in games, crack somebody in the face mask, and then a day later come back to the team remorseful saying, I broke my hand in the fight. So that's why I said that Pouncey was wrong. And then third tier, Mason Rudolph was wrong as well. Like, he didn't deserve to get hit. I don't want anybody to get my words twisted. He didn't ask to be hit. I don't want anybody to get my words twisted. But if you're pushing Myles Garrett up off you, you hit him in the groin, and then you try to rip his helmet off. The only difference is Myles Garrett is stronger, so he successfully rips yours off. And then after that, walk away. And this isn't placing blame on Mason Rudolph. This is speaking from firsthand experience. I've been in these scuffles and fights where my helmet comes off, and the first thing I think is, let me protect my face and my head. I'm not going to go running into the fight. You for damn sure don't run up to the guy who's holding your helmet. So, you know, there's three tiers of blame: Myles Garrett, Pouncey, and of course Mason Rudolph. But this all could have been avoided. I think if they would have been focused on de-escalating it and guys setting their egos aside and not trying to be tough, I think this would have stopped before it even started. I just hope that we don't see something like this again.
What's crazy is that it benefits a bunch of teams, because these are two teams that could be right in the hunt when you break it down and what the rest of the schedule is for the Browns. We hear indefinitely for Myles Garrett. If you're the guy handing down the sentence on this, what does that indefinitely turn into?
It turns into figuring out what type of man Myles Garrett is. If this was an isolated incident, even though he's had a few penalties before, and then once you confirm that this is one of those things where he just blew a gasket.
Yeah.
Then from there, you say to yourself, okay, let's get this guy back on the field. You know, because I don't know Myles Garrett personally. From what I've seen from a bird's eye view, he doesn't seem like a bad guy. He doesn't seem like a malicious individual. Joe Thomas, the well-respected Cleveland Brown, the legend there, he said, you know, from what I know about Myles Garrett, he's a very chill, relaxed guy that wouldn't do something like this. So I say eventually he gets back on the field. Indefinitely means let's strike the hammer down. Let's make it sound definitive when it's really not. I do feel like Myles Garrett will get back on the field. This season might be a stretch. It might be a tough ask for Myles Garrett to appeal it and say, I want to be back this year. But if I'm him, I do. I go out there and explain my side of it. I explain my case, and I try to get back on the field. You got to eat the fine, whatever they fine you. Don't argue that. But if you want to get back on the field, why not? And let's be clear. You guys know, like I know, and people that are watching, this isn't something that we haven't seen before. Now, this may be the first time you've seen a guy grab a helmet, swing it, and connect with somebody else's head, but yeah. We've seen helmets get ripped off before. We saw Kyle Turley rip somebody's helmet off and toss it 50 yards. I've been at practices and preseason games where I've seen guys get their helmet ripped off, and then the one holding the helmet swing it recklessly. They just didn't connect. And it was one of those moments where, you know, in that moment at practice, it's like, whoa, 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 too far, bro. And then from there, the person who might be attempting to swing the helmet realizes I'm tripping. Kyle Brandt on the show this morning, he said something that made a lot of sense that people can relate to, because we all watch movies and have seen this happen. And maybe some of us who live, you know, a very rough lifestyle may have actually been involved in something like this. He said it's like being in a fight and one person pulls out a knife and you're like, whoa, bro, this isn't that type of fight. And I think that's what was so jarring about it, that in a scuffle, a melee, which we've all seen 1,000 times on a football field, swinging a helmet just isn't something we're used to seeing. So it was unfortunate. It was very ugly. But it isn't one of those things where I'm just so appalled that I'm disgusted in a way that I want to turn my face from watching football again. Unfortunately, I've seen it before. And this is the player's perspective. I don't want people to say, Nate, you're being insensitive, dismissive, and you're shifting the blame. No, I'm not. I get that it is something that will shock you once you see that. But I've seen it before, time and time again. It just happened on the biggest stage in the biggest moment with the only game being on TV.
There was a movie rule that was broken last night. No touching of the hair or face in a fight.
Okay, yeah. Right? Well, that escalated quickly.
Yes, it did.
Very good. Yeah.
I want to talk about it from a teammate's perspective here, Nate.
Yeah.
Because here you have Myles Garrett, a former first overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
The anchor of your defense, in theory, for 10 years to come. And in a nothing moment, you're up by 2 touchdowns with 10 seconds to go. You lose your mind. Mitigating factors as well.
Yeah.
But you lost your mind. If Nate Burleson is a teammate of Myles Garrett after what he saw last night, do you trust him going forward as a teammate, as an important piece of that crew, to keep it on a straight line going forward?
I do. And, you know, I've been through a similar situation. You know, in Detroit, I played with Ndamukong Suh.
Right.
And during his first years as a Lion, he was reckless at certain points. I mean, he had some penalties in a game that cost us. Forget about costing him money. They cost us games. And we had to address it and say, like, Sue, man, I know you're one of those guys that plays through the whistle. I know you want to be the best at your position, but you got to chill, fam. Like, you got to chill. And I was always the one that addressed the media and said, no, Sue's a good dude. Like, I don't want you to get it twisted. He plays on the edge and he plays through the whistle, but he's a good dude. I feel like Myles Garrett is that same type of guy. If we take one moment in somebody's career, we take one bad moment in their life, you know, somebody said to me, and I hate to go off on a tangent, somebody said, well, should we charge him? Will charges be inevitable? And I said, I don't know. I can't answer that question. But what I can say is I don't think he should be charged with the crime, because if we look at the landscape of all sports, right, and we look at every bad moment, like every nasty moment where a guy did something malicious,
mm-hmm.
this can date so far back that we'll be digging up corpses and handing people, you know, criminal charges. So this isn't one of those things where I'm so mad at Myles Garrett that I can't forgive him and can't trust him. It's just that you're going to have to earn that trust back. And here's the thing. This may sound insensitive, is that you have to check his pulse, check who he is as a man, check his character, figure out if you can trust him again. But then you also have to reiterate, I still want you to be a nasty player. And not in the sense of doing something that will hurt the team, but I still want you to play through the whistle. I still want you to be ferocious. I still want you to be a vicious tackler. I still want you to be nasty, because when we think about some of the best defensive players of all time,
they are that.
These aren't the nicest dudes in the world.
Yeah.
So, like, you can be nasty, you can be vicious, you can be ferocious, and do it all within the rules. So after you figure out where Myles Garrett is, you say, hey, be the same dude, just do it within the rules of the game and don't cost us penalties. And more importantly, don't cost yourself your legacy.
Yeah, we've done it in hockey. We've seen it in hockey where charges are laid and it is not clean. It is very, very messy.
For years.
Especially for a sport that legislates fighting within the game. Listen, one more on this and then I want to move on to Colin Kaepernick. Is there any irony in the Browns playing with such passion at 3-6 in a game on national TV against a heated rival with basically their season on the line? Like, I was asking myself, where was this the other 9 games?
Yeah, I believe that they realized that they might be on the list of fake bad teams.
Yeah.
They were so terrible in the beginning of the season, and it started to bother them. Because what happens is you get to the point in the year where you're past the midway point, and you realize your dreams of making it into the postseason or even going to a Super Bowl are slipping away. And it's frustrating. I remember I got to a point when I was playing Detroit and we weren't going to make the playoffs. And I looked at Calvin Johnson and I said, hey, yo, let's just be the villains. Let's be the bad guys. And not in the sense we're going to go out there and hurt DBs or cut their legs out or try to end their careers. It was basically me saying, yo, when we go play a team, let's try to ruin their season. And I felt like the Browns were playing that type of way. It just spilled over in the most nasty of ways.
All right, let's move to Colin Kaepernick, as Tim suggested. I've read different stories on tomorrow's workout in Atlanta, Nate, all week. I still have no idea why the NFL's doing this. Do you?
Yeah, I'm not sure that there's really a clear understanding of why they're doing it right now. I mean, if you want to give Colin Kaepernick a fair opportunity of being picked up, have this workout right at the end of training camp when teams are figuring out their quarterback situation. Have it at the beginning of the year when all of these quarterbacks went down and some teams are playing with third stringers. Maybe that there's so much conversation about this being a year where backup quarterbacks are playing so much, and you can't help but to think if you're a football fan and can look just as recent as 4 years ago, that Cap was a beast. And yet we're seeing guys that, for a lack of better words, couldn't hold his jock. I think maybe the NFL got tired of the whispers and said, all right, let's give him an opportunity. And for Cap, even though he hasn't been saying much, I hear he's been working out like crazy. I do commend both sides, though. I've always wanted to hear more from Cap. I don't care about tweets or him posting videos of working out. I want to hear him come out and say, I want to play. And as far as the NFL, being that I work for the NFL, I wanted them to do something about that. I wanted them to do something about him getting an opportunity. So we can't say, oh, well, you know, Cap hasn't had an opportunity to show his skill set this many years later. Now both sides can meet. I don't know how authentic or inauthentic it is. What I do know is Cap is going to work out. He should show out. He's going to look good. From there, it's up to coaches and teams to make a decision whether they want to have a guy that, in my opinion, will be one of the top 32 quarterbacks, let alone top 64 on their roster.
All right, so we all agree that he is good enough to be in the NFL. It seems like this is not part of, at least according to multiple sources, this is not part of his settlement with the league. This isn't right. The collusion grievance being right. Played out somewhere. So for Colin Kaepernick, was maybe part of this that a lot of teams didn't want to be the first to bring him in? So then you have somewhere central where everyone can answer the questions as opposed to just one team. Because you know if one team brought him in or signed him, there would be some sort of circus that would follow him in. Could this mitigate all of that?
Yeah, I believe so. And to keep it very simple, and this is something my wife would say to my kids when it came to eating their vegetables at a young age. If you try it, you might like it.
Right.
And I know that's very elementary, but think about this for a quick second. However you want to break down Colin Kaepernick not playing. And there may be certain teams that said, listen, we don't want Cap on our team because our quarterback situation is straight. We don't want Cap on our team because we feel like, you know, he's going to come in and it's going to be all about him. Whatever it is, I think now, so many years later, I think Cap is going to be able to provide at least a glimpse into what he looks like. And if you see him, then you might have an idea that's contrary to what you have thought for the last 3 years. You might say, damn, I mean, now that I see him in person, I mean, I knew he was working out, but I didn't know he looked this good. So if you try it, you might like it. I think this is an opportunity for Cap to at least go out on his own terms, giving everybody a fair look at him. And how could you argue if there's footage of him working out, which I heard that every team will see this footage, and you're staring at your quarterback who might not be as good. You're staring at a backup quarterback who didn't even start in college. You're staring at a third stringer who you'll never put on the field. I think once you see the footage, you have to address the fact that you're looking at your quarterback room more honestly than ever. And I think this is the opportunity for Cap to force teams to do that.
We only got about 20 seconds, Nate. In 2020, does Colin Kaepernick play in a regular season game? Yes or no?
Yes, 100%. I feel like Cap will play. Just look at the quarterbacks that played this year. I refuse to say that a quarterback's a bum. because when you make it to this level, you're part of the elite group. But when you look at some of the second and third stringers in this league, Cap could have provided a skill set for some of these squads that would have helped them make the playoffs. And most of the teams that refuse to bring Cap in will be sitting at home watching playoffs just like you and me.
Never a dull moment, Nate. We appreciate you. We love having you on. Thanks, man. Have a great weekend.
All right, fellas.
Nate Burleson from a car in Boston. He will do it from anywhere, Sixero. When we return, we'll continue to do the show from our studios in Toronto with the best of the week.
I like it here.
It's warm.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
You know, we do this commercial for Rogers Ignite TV every week, Sixero.
We're in commercial now?
And yeah, this is a commercial.
So the doctor told me.
No, it's a commercial.
Oh, we're doing a commercial. We're not just in commercial.
No, we are.
Okay, I'll tell you about my rash
inside
later.
The prism of the prism of the prism.
Sorry, I'll
everyone
hold that
acts
story.
Like this is a new fandangled thing that is for kids and
did
stuff
you,
like
did
that.
Did you call the Rogers Ignite remote
new fandangled thing?
Really?
But this Rogers Ignite TV is not that. My 82-year-old dad comes home from a busy day, mm-hmm. and all he says is NHL into his converter. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens? Every game pops up, and whatever game that you have
right.
on your... I have a Super Sports package.
As do I.
So whenever you...
Was I raised by Wolves? Of course I have a Super Sports
All of them are available. And you can look at the scores of the games to decide which one you're going to go to.
Right.
And if you have a favorite team, it's even easier. Calgary Flames. That'll pop up on your screen immediately, too. And whatever they're doing that day.
Your favorite team's the Calgary Flames?
So there's their schedule.
Just one of the teams.
3-1 loss. I picked any
okay,
team
no,
at random because it's
make
that
it clear.
Easy.
Yeah, you just said favorite team and you said Calgary, so I just wanted to just clarify for the Calgary Flames.
The Atlanta Flames. Thrashers aren't available anymore.
Shout out the old reference. Hey, regardless of what your favorite team is, Rogers Ignite TV.
Now, bump just,
my,
it's
bump
easy.
My rash. It is...
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
All right, the votes have been tallied, kids, for Best of the Week. Some fantastic nominees, but Paul Bissonnette, man, you made it dusty in here.
Yeah,
you made it dusty in here.
I know that guy.
Ron, you're gonna sit right here, buddy. Well, I'm Paul Bissonnette. I'm here on behalf of the NHL.
Right now, my father's full-time caregiver, so I take care of all of his basic needs. I sent a tweet, not expecting anything. Never in a million years would have thought that Paul would have reached out to me.
So, if your son will do the honors.
Hey, Ron, Austin here. Heard you've been a lifelong Leafs fan, and you haven't made it down to a game in over 20 years. I think we should probably change that, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Can you do the honors?
So we got this little present for you. So, actually, there's actually another part to the video Austin sent.
Hey, Ron, hope you enjoy the game with your sons. Only downside is you're probably going to get stuck with the bill and this one whole game with Biz. Hopefully we can get a win for you. Looking forward to meeting you after.
Wow.
Ron.
I don't know if I can handle all this. I've waited 52 years or something like this in Toronto. This is as big as winning the Stanley Cup.
Having watched the whole video, I'm not sure we did it justice, so we're going to send it out on our Twitter account. The whole thing is unbelievable. You saw me watching the whole thing.
And to be fair, we wouldn't have the time to run the whole thing in Best of the Week anyway, but Tim was watching it yesterday at his desk, and it got dusty in there, too.
It got a little dusty in there.
It got dusty in there.
I want to turn the page to a little national team corner news here. Not only is Canada playing in a, not hosting, but away in Orlando playing a very important soccer game, which you can now see on national TV thanks to One Soccer and all the people that picked it up. But it was announced today that the Canadian men's team in Canada basketball have won the right to host an Olympic qualifier in Victoria, BC next year if they win that tournament, they will go to the Olympics. And you and I have sat here and talked a million times about when the time to turn the corner for this program will be. You saw a little bit of it from Canada Soccer, and maybe they'll take the next step tonight in Orlando. Could this tournament in Victoria be the moment where Canada basketball turns the corner?
There will be no more excuses. There is no travel. You're going to Victoria. It's in the summer. There's no trip to Japan. There's no trip to China. There's none of that. The excuses end here.
There's not even a chicken or egg conversation about fans and support. Like, Victoria can provide it all, right?
Great part of the country. That's a great spot to put that tournament, I think.
I mean, a bigger city might have been easier to attract fans and or players to, but Victoria in the summer is beautiful.
Quick flight over to the island. I think it's going to be fine. I think it's great.
I keep hearing from people that they want their players to show up. If the fans show up and the sponsors show up, this could be one of the rarest occasions where you have chicken and egg. And by the way, shout out the women. Because
the
no
women.
One needs to be told to show up there.
The second last qualifier for our women happening right now at Edmonton for Olympic qualifiers for our women's national team, Kia Nurse and Bridget Carlton were in Australia playing pro ball, flew 26 hours for this pre-qualifying tournament. Probably didn't even need them to qualify, Canada did. And they showed up. The men need to show up too. Shout out to our women doing great things in Edmonton.
Ranked fourth in the world, already beat Cuba by about 50. Saturday and Sunday, they'll play again. All right, time for us to say goodbye to those watching on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 360. Up next on Sportsnet Hockey Central, Carolyn Cameron and Brian Burke, ahead of the Penguins and Devils. We got an NBA doubleheader on Sportsnet 1, starting with the Jazz and the Grizzlies at 8 p.m. Celtics follow it up. Coming up on Sportsnet 360, it's Aftermath, and we continue on the radio.
Big game for the Leafs tonight.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk Canada soccer.
No, wait. Oh, Canada soccer.
Why do you make that transfer right away?
No,
organized this before.
I'm sorry, Canada soccer.
We were going to continue with the Canadian conversation.
Let's do
but
that.
Immediately
no,
go
no,
Leafs.
No, no, no. Mea culpa. Tim, oh, like someone mentioned Canada soccer? Again, if Canada gets a draw in half an hour, beginning in half an hour, against the States in Orlando, they will probably go to the Hex. The final World Cup qualifying tournament in our region.
Why is it still a probably? Do you know why I'm
because
asking
it's
you a
just,
tougher question?
It's just, it can't be final. It's all rankings based,
right.
And it's finalized in June of next year. We cannot officially put Canada among the top six CONCACAF nations yet.
Even though they're already there.
If it's a draw. If they win tonight, you can do it. If they beat the States tonight in Orlando, by the way, for those driving around, going home, this game was not going to be on TV as of last month, but it's on TV now. I can't speak for Bell. Forgive me.
It's on Bell Rogers.
I do work here.
Oh, you're going to give the...
I'm going to give the exact.
Yeah.
If you want to see Canada play the U.S. tonight in the CONCACAF Nations League, channels 350 and 348 in HD and SD. Also, I saw someone send this into the show. Rogers Ignite channel 499.
Okay.
On Rogers. So Canada, USA, if you're going home tonight, you want to watch one of the biggest Canadian soccer games in years, that's how you can do
so
it.
Gareth Wheeler on the call, one soccer?
Yep. I believe Andy Petrillo, one soccer people. They've been doing a great job this entire time. I'm really happy they get to continue to produce it. They get to continue to broadcast it. Gareth is a fan. I love me. He's one of the good peoples in our business, Gareth Wheeler. So this could be history tonight in Orlando against a depleted USA team.
Seven changes for the United States men's national team. Any changes for Canada? I thought I read that perhaps Alphonso Davies would be playing left back.
That's the rumor. I hope that's wrong. We'll wait. Okay. We'll see in a half an hour's time. Marc-Anthony Kaye, who had to leave the game at BMO against the States early due to injury, and he had a phenomenal year for LAFC in Major League Soccer. Marc-Anthony Kaye is back in the starting lineup tonight. You would think Canada's even stronger with Kaye in the lineup. So this is, Tim, honestly, there's a part of me that's a little scared here. Because, I mean, we love us some Canadian soccer. We love us Canadian basketball. It has been a trail of heartbreak for a while, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And everything's lining up for Canadian soccer tonight. I am optimistic, but part of me is extremely pessimistic because of how many times my heart has been broken. But I'm hoping for the best this evening. Hopefully the guys step up, and hopefully Alphonso Davies is not playing at left back, and he's up front where he belongs for this program.
I see a starting 11, but it doesn't give us positions.
Yeah, there's no formation there. I saw the same one. There's no formation. I don't know where Alphonso Davies is going to play tonight. We'll see. The beauty is John Herdman can put him wherever he wants.
Well,
as a defender, he can push him up.
I keep interrupting you, and I feel bad. I'm sorry. I apologize. Kay is in the starting 11.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just
wondering if you were thinking that Davies would play left back because Kay was down.
No, I just saw speculation from a few people. I didn't do my own math on that. I should have. But I just really hope he's not playing as a defender tonight, Davies. I know he's done that a lot for Bayern Munich lately. And quite frankly, he's getting better at it.
Mm-hmm.
But look, again, Tim, at BMO last month, Davies was terrorizing defenders. Right. Like, not playing well, terrorizing defenders and just completely leaving them for dead. And I want to see that again tonight. I want to see the States on their heels. The States are a wounded animal. Their confidence is low. Canada's is high. Go for the throat. Play Davies up front with Jonathan David. Go after it. Don't play soft. Don't play five in the back. Don't do any of that garbage. Go forward. Allez le Rouge. Score.
Glad you mentioned Jonathan David.
Jonathan David's legit.
Yeah, no,
like,
he
that
is.
Kid is legit. I know Davies gets all the press.
He is legit.
I know.
As we explained last time.
I'm preaching to the choir. You're a David guy. You've been a David guy for a while. So go Canada. Go Canada for basketball. Go Canada for soccer.
And support them if you can.
Boy, Victoria in June would be nice. Road trip?
You and I?
Road trip?
I'd do that.
Throwing it out there.
Play a little Bear Mountain.
We're on like every channel. We have some pull.
There's some golf courses out there. You know that, right?
There is.
Oh, yeah.
A friend of ours used to call it God Country. Went out there the one time. Yes, it is God Country.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see the sun. I went out there with a miserable couple of days. It was gorgeous.
I think the phrase is God's country.
No, singular.
All right. Singular. Fair enough. I know our next guest refers to a certain football team as God's team, but I don't know if I can bring up Notre Dame football right now with our next guest, Joe. Joe, are we allowed to walk down the Notre Dame road right now?
I'm backing off the mic, folks.
If you don't want to, I understand.
No, boys, actually, I would love to because I've had so many people tell me or ask me, how could we go to see a game at Notre Dame? Well, apparently, Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director, says that there's a chance that the next two games, Navy this weekend and Boston College next weekend, may not be sold out. So if you've ever wanted to go,
mm-hmm.
It's an eight-hour drive. I would suggest you phone the ticket office down there, secure a couple of Ducats, and go down and enjoy it. Now, the fact that we're not going to go to the national championship this year, we won't talk about that.
Man, the ankles that have been taped to jump off that bandwagon, Bowen.
No, I'm still on the wagon.
No, I know you are. I know you are, but there's tickets available, plenty of good seats available there.
Yeah, well, not plenty, but it's gone. I guess 217 complete or consecutive sellouts. So yeah, you might be right.
That's crazy. And Navy's not a bad football team either. That's the part of this that makes this interesting. All right.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I think they are a pretty good football team. And of course, everybody, as soon as you don't get to the national final or something, the coach gets the heat. And everybody wants Kelly fired. I can only imagine what's going to happen in Michigan when they get their doors blown off by it. Ohio State, but that's another story.
Still upset about the 45-14 Michigan win that I won't mention.
No, sorry. No.
14 years of bragging rights, man. I'm done with it. My God.
Don't worry, they'll play again.
Bonesy, let's move off your team that doesn't win to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
They win plenty, just not when it matters.
Just not when it matters. Bonesy, I'm getting this feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know people who watch the Leafs get this feeling a lot, I find. I'm getting the feeling it's a big weekend. Do you have that feeling like it's a big weekend for this team?
It's a big weekend, and it's a big trip. Vegas and Arizona and Colorado on the horizon. Something has to give here, I think. One way or the other, they've got to get this thing turned around, especially defensively, and do something and create some kind of identity. And I think that's what is missing, and I think that's what everybody thought there would be. Highly skilled, very fast, very offensive, lots of goal scoring. Well, they've scored enough, They just haven't been able to keep the thing out of their own end. And then when you compound the fact that they've scored lots, but our power play is terrible and the penalty killing is worse, special teams have become a very big lightning rod. So I think that Mike Babcock realizes it's a big weekend, but it's also a big trip because something has to give here before this team comes back to the Scotiabank Arena here in a couple of weeks.
Pittsburgh, Vegas, Arizona, Colorado, Detroit, and Buffalo, only because I got it in front of me. When Mike Babcock, Bonesy, said, grind our way out of it, I thought that he was using that word on purpose, the grind part of it. Do you think that's what he wants to see from this team, is a little more elbow grease when they need it most?
I would think so, and I think everybody else wants a little of it, too. You know, so much has been made about the physicality or lack of physicality of this team. And if you're going to build it around speed and finesse and everything else, you have to also be willing to do the dirty work. And a lot of times that dirty work isn't done, specifically in their own end, where horrible giveaways result in goals very quickly. And this team doesn't have another gear like some teams do. And I'll circle the Islanders. Things aren't going real well. They could throw that fourth line out, and with Leo Komarov and Tsitsikas and Clutterbuck, and turn the tide. They can come out and throw their weight around and get the crowd into it and get a real good shift that is going to change the tempo of the game. The Leafs can't really change the tempo of the game unless they score.
Right.
And that, I think, is something that Mike Babcock is looking for, and that's where the grind, I think, comes out of it. And, you know, I'm sure he's looking forward to getting Zach Hyman going a little bit more, because if there is a guy that grinds, it's certainly him.
Speaking of grinding, I'm looking at Alex Kerfoot through a different lens after reading his update today. 13 minutes against Long Island, and he did it with a dental facial fracture, which is a new thing described to me. Did you catch any
chip
wind?
Your tooth?
I think it was worse than that. Did you catch any wind that it was this bad?
No, I had no idea of it. And you're right. I mean, I thought he was playing exceptionally well the last couple of games, to be honest with you. His speed and everything else was very noticeable.
Yeah.
And then to have this slap them in the face, so to speak, is really difficult for a team that's struggling at this point. But one door closes and Jason Spezza is going to get his biggest opportunity of, serious time coming up here over the next little while.
It always feels like the pressure is going to build quickly. And it's not just that road trip. There's a lot of games that this team is going to play. They're going to go on their Western Canadian swing, which will be a four-game swing, including St. Louis, and then the three Canadian teams early in December. Do you feel like they kind of know that it's go time here after the quarter pole and that they need to show something no matter who's in or out of the lineup?
Well, I'm sure that it's pretty tough not to look at the standings. They've fallen out of a playoff spot. You're not playing well. You've gone, 0-2-1 in the last three. Losing streaks are sometimes very difficult to get out of. So I think that the urgency has to be there, and I would be very disappointed if we didn't see that kind of urgency in their play here tonight. During the Hall of Fame night. So I would think that they have to realize that. Now, whether it is forthcoming will be a very serious question to ask afterward.
Yeah.
And the answer to that, who knows what might be in store.
Let's be honest here. Hall of Fame game at home, Boston Bruins in town. This shouldn't be a tough one to get up for.
Gosh, no.
I mean, Boston alone.
Yeah,
and add everything you just said there, Timmy. I completely agree with you. This is they got to be up for this. Bonesy, a word on Austin Matthews, the disorderly conduct charge dismissed late last night down in Scottsdale. Brendan Shanahan puts out a statement today saying we appreciate the contrition which with Austin has spoken to this matter, but we expect a bit more. Not to talk about every aspect of this, but just the relationship between Austin and the Leafs, Bonesy. What did the Leafs learn here? What did Austin learn here?
You know what? My youngest son turned 19 today. And I know what I was like when I was 19 and 20, and I dare say you boys probably had a few indiscretions or some things that went on as well. I think what they all, what both parties learned was, one, honesty's the best policy. Two, understand that young people are going to make mistakes. This one was an indiscretion, obviously, that became much bigger than maybe it should have been. And had it been handled correctly, it would have never probably reached any kind of publicity at all. Having said that, I think that, you know, as a hockey club, you realize that you are putting a lot of responsibility and a lot of money in some very young people's hands. And that is an education process that has to go on a daily basis. So I think it's a maturation process for one, and it's an experience one for the other that, hey, we employ a lot of very young people here and pay them extraordinarily well. We've got to, you know, make sure we keep tabs on them, and they have to understand that there's a lot of responsibility that goes with it.
Yeah, they have to take responsibility as well. Zach Hyman, of course, returned to the lineup, and you know, Mike Babcock was speaking highly of Zach Hyman before he returned. I don't know if he kind of doubled down on it when the return happened, but there's no doubt that he can bring something to this squad. Is it mitigated by the fact that Mitch Marner is not on that line right now? I mean, how much does Marner mean for those guys to be clicking, and does that kind of hurt Hyman in his return?
Well, I think it does, obviously. Mitch Marner is a talented, extraordinarily talented young man. Zach Hyman is, and it's really interesting over Zach Hyman's career. When he was first brought in and played on Matthews' line, it was, what is that guy doing there? He can't, his hands are terrible. He doesn't, he's not complimenting him. Then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, they can hardly wait to get Hyman back because he's the chairman of the board and he's the guy that's going to be doing all of this. So it's amazing how his career has gone. And obviously his appreciation has risen as well. So obviously John Tavares will look forward to having him because he's a great puck retriever and he's a great grinder in the corners. And that's what Tavares will live off of. The both of them will miss Marner because of his remarkable playmaking skills. So they'll look forward to getting him back. But I think at this time, I think it's more important to have Hyman back for Tavares at this particular point to get him going. And we'll wait and see how that turns out. But they'll look forward to getting Marner back here in another month or so.
Bruins Leafs. Always interesting. Live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan tonight. Joe Bowen with the call. Bonesy, you are our Hall of Famer in English. I broadcast good.
I appreciate that, guys. My tenure as the recipient of the Foster Hewitt Award ends on Monday, but a wonderful gentleman in Jim Houston is going to be honored. So I'm very honored and pleased for him to be going in as well.
Pass the torch on. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys.
There is Joe Bowen. He'll have the call for the radio side of things, as he always does. Jack Edwards. Just reading a tweet from Jack Edwards, who does the Boston Bruins broadcast.
The always provocative Jack Edwards. What's he saying?
Tuukka-Rask leads the Bruins onto the ice in Toronto to face the Leafs and Frederik Andersen. The Bees are a good kind of grumpy, having dropped four in a row. 7 p.m. Buckle up and be there.
Just to add to the four in a row, not just four in a row, coming off blowing a four-goal lead at home to the Florida Panthers, a Panthers team that just got beat by the Jets last night. This Bruins team is coming in all kinds of pissed.
Yeah.
Against a Leafs team that looks as big as a piñata to them, and they've treated them like it down through the years. So it'll be interesting tonight. It would be nice if the Leafs can just kind of, I don't know, play well and work harder than the other team. That'd be a nice start to this.
Against the Boston Bruins, you're going to ask for that?
Well, it'll happen one day. Or maybe not. Or maybe not.
It's not that hard.
Hard work?
Yeah.
It isn't.
No.
Like it's like, I know
commit
you
commit to it.
You don't want to do it. But if you do it, you may reap some benefits out of it.
But the one thing about the Leafs is, you know, when they're clicking, they're outskilling people, right? The problem is that oftentimes the hard work leads to the outskilling people, but because you've been so good at outskilling, you never really realize that. It's time for the Leafs to realize that.
It's just this team has fun when it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to put it that way.
Everyone does.
But some of these other hockey teams, they like it any way you give it to them.
And Boston might be that team.
Mm-hmm.
Boston might be that team. All right, let's close out the show with a little what we missed. Sid Sixero, are you prepared for a little what we missed?
Can I get the...
What we missed!
I was about to say...
What?
Wait
a second.
It's Friday, though. What are we doing here?
It is Friday.
It's Friday.
Which means it's that Friday feeling.
It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday, It's Friday then, it's Friday, Sunday, It's Friday again,
Oh. Let's go.
Are you in that Friday feeling? Because I will not begin what we missed until you are in that Friday feeling.
I've been ready for Friday since Monday.
CONCACAF Nations League continues. Canada in Orlando to take on the United States. Does Canada get the result they need in Orlando? And before you answer this, understand both you and I have followed Canadian soccer and Canadian basketball, and both those roads in the past have been fraught.
Heartbreak.
They have been fraught with heartbreak.
Disappointment.
Along the way.
You name it.
Can Canada, on the soccer side of things, take that next step tonight in Orlando?
Final score in Orlando tonight. USA 1. Canada 1. Jonathan David gets the goal.
And that's enough to get him to the hex?
Not officially, but close enough.
That's you.
Just don't break my heart,
that
Canada soccer.
That is you putting your toe in.
John Herdman, don't do this
around,
to me
man.
Again. John Herdman, don't do this. Arash Madani was in Honduras sweating through his shirt. I don't want to do this again. Don't break my heart, please. It's like high school all over again. Let me have a happy... I'm not going to say that. Let me enjoy this game. That's all I want.
What does a happy
Grow
ending
up,
mean?
Dagan. Dagan. You don't know what I was going to say.
What does he mean by happy ending? What?
I was going to say happy ending.
All right, let's
stop myself. Good
let's stay with
it.
Canada. Why don't we continue with the first ever Canadian national team edition of What We Missed?
Nice.
How big is it that the Canadian men's program has won the right to host in Victoria, June 23rd to 28th?
Well, the initial reason is which other nations are going to be hosting these final Olympic qualifying tournaments.
Big point.
So Croatia will host one of these tournaments. Canada don't have to play Croatia next summer. Serbia is hosting a tournament. Canada won't have to play Serbia next summer. Lithuania is hosting a tournament. Canada won't have to take on Lithuania. And don't get me wrong, there's other really strong teams sitting out there. France, Greece, still kicking around. Canada might have
Turkey.
To play in Turkey. They're strong nations. But that's the good part of this initially. Canada won't have to deal with Croatia, Serbia, or Lithuania from a basketball perspective. And again, Tim, it absolutely erases the excuse for young Canadian NBA pros about traveling, about working that, about going from Australia to Japan and representing this country. No. You're flying to Victoria, quickly into Victoria. You're flying into Vancouver, quickly into Victoria. That's going to be the flight.
But it's not just the players. It's the fans. It's everybody.
Yeah,
it's
true.
We keep arguing about the chicken and the egg when it comes to Canada basketball. If the support is there, then will the players show? That's all gone. All the excuses. Vancouver. If you want to prove that you could support an NBA franchise, sell it out in Victoria, Ontario, Toronto, everywhere else in Canada where people keep telling me that basketball does not get enough love in this country. Sell this thing out and that love will come. Guess what? Everyone follows the money. And if the money is there in Victoria, then the sponsors will come, then the players will come, then the accolades will come, and the Olympics could come. And the way the women's team is playing, you could have, if everyone showed up, you could have two legit podium contenders in the Canadian women, who are ranked fourth in the world, and the Canadian men, who if everyone showed up, would be what? Top five team in the world, if everyone showed up?
Maybe higher. But showing up, but I think the theme to all of it, like you said, Tim, is showing up.
For everyone, though.
Players, fans. Our Canadian women's basketball team's currently in Edmonton. Check them out this weekend. They're fantastic. If you're in the Vancouver area, you're in Victoria, look at when those tickets go on sale next summer. Get out there, support our guys, and if World Cup qualifying heats up for our men's soccer team, whether they're BMO in Vancouver, whatever it is, two great venues, go out and support them. This is all about the change, potentially, with all of these programs. Yeah. Be out there and support our men and women as well.
Someone wrote in and said, how can you be football fans if you ignore the CFL? We talked about the CFL earlier. Yeah. Sixero said Hamilton is making its way to the Grey Cup. Is this a big win, a big weekend for Hamilton football? Because McMaster goes to Calgary. And I don't know if you know this, but in 2014, McMaster played Montreal in the Vanier Cup. Could we see a rematch there as well? Could this be the ultimate weekend for Hamilton football?
I think Dane Evans and the Tiger Cats have what it takes. I've had faith in them all year. I've seen all their games, Tim, as you know. Mm-hmm. Steph Potasik and Mac. How about them going out to Calgary? I always like an OUA school's odds in that matchup. They travel well, it seems. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a huge football weekend for the city of Hamilton, Tim.
All right, we're done. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Thanks for sticking with us throughout the week. We appreciate it.